Hey guys, it's me, Misha. This is Tell Them I Am. It's another day of Ramadan and another day where I treat you, dear listener, like my diary. I like to describe myself as fearless, not just brave, but like not having fear in the first place. Oh, Misha, she's fearless. Because I don't want to be the person who didn't do something because they were afraid. That terrifies me. I mean, I was brave in making this show. It was nerve-wracking to just call up actors and Super Bowl champions and astronomers and ask, "Will you be on my podcast?" I felt scared the whole time. But I did it. And if I wasn't sitting here blabbing my secrets into a microphone, you might even believe I'm fearless. I wonder what it would take for me to become the person that I tell everyone I am, that I tell myself I am.
I'm Iqbal Teba. I'm a dad. I'm an actor. I used to introduce myself as an actor until I had kids. So now I'm a dad. And then I'm an actor and a husband and a friend and a son and a brother and a citizen.
We have an epidemic on our hands.
Head lice?
Worse. Giggle juice.
I'm sorry, what?
Alcohol, William. The wet devil. Our children are so brazen, they're showing up to school wasted. And not wasted on learning, Will, wasted on booze. Why, just this week, we've had 5 suspensions for intoxication.
Iqbal's been a working actor since the 90s. You probably saw him on Glee or in Green Book or on ER. He kind of came to acting by accident or fate, depending on how you see those things. You see, Iqbal had a totally different plan. Go to school, get a degree in construction management, then an internship, and then begin your career. But when Iqbal arrived in Norman to study at the University of Oklahoma, he had only enough money for his first semester's tuition. That's it. So he had to get a job, and he got one at the campus cafeteria to put himself through school. His first service industry job.
I started off actually in the scraping room, you know, where there was this little box, cubicle kind of a thing in the middle of the huge restaurant or a cafeteria where people would bring in their trays and dirty dishes. You know, you scrape the food off the dishes, the leftovers. So I did that a lot.
He washes dishes, scrubs floors, waits tables, goes to school, just waiting for Fridays.
So I would get off at 4:30. I did not work that night as a dishwasher. So then I would go home, you know, make myself some tea, relax, and watch MTV, which was huge in those days.
5 minutes away, you want to stick around for that? Bill told me about this too. In fact, it's pretty much Bill's show tonight.
This is the early 80s. And watch TV and just relax and do nothing.
He is the king with more number one selling records than any single artist in history. No Elvis collection will be complete without this fabulous 50-hit treasury. Truly.
So when did you start pursuing acting seriously?
I was a senior in college, finishing up my four-year program, bachelor's program, at the School of Architecture. And I worked for a construction company. And during that job, I was beginning to feel that this is not for me, but at least I just hated, you know, being on the construction site. At the end of summer, I was done with my, you know, classes and school pretty much. I had become a waiter, by the way, you know. So I waited tables and just thought about life for many, many months. Then I just kind of, I don't know, accidentally stumbled upon the idea of acting because this friend of mine, Mary Gregory, so she invites me to a play. It was the first real play I had seen in my life. So it was kind of a, you know, mystical experience for me, you know, just going into the theater and lights going out and dark, and then you see the actors on stage. I really was so intrigued, you know, by the whole experience, and it got me, you know, thinking about acting. The more I thought about it, I became more interested.
He gets obsessed. He has just finished his degree, but he's like, screw it, I need to study drama. So he enrolls in a bunch of theater classes.
And halfway into the semester, I knew it was for me. And it happened in like a moment. I was doing a scene with my friend Shelley Lytle. The way I connected with her was an incredible feeling. I can't imagine, like, I know it sounds really odd, but the way we connected, you know, I had not experienced that in my real life. And it just, like, I say, God, this is it, you know? And I go back home and I call a friend of mine, Nakvi, and I said, you know, I'm an actor.
It's a beautiful thing to have a moment where you really know something about yourself. I'm an actor. But True for You is just the first step, right? I mean, I could say I'm an astronaut, but that doesn't put me on the moon. Manifesting something is a lot of work.
So, and then I just, you know, became really focused to a point where I was just insane. Like, that's all that mattered. Like, I had a plan that I'm going to go to New York for a year or two and then move to Los Angeles and then, you know, pursue acting and eventually we'll do film and television. That was a plan. So anything that did not fit in that plan was out, you know, whether it was a woman or a friend or anybody, you know, anything, any job, you know. But waiting tables was something that was flexible.
In Norman, Oklahoma, Iqbal is like king of waiters. He's chatty and charming and fast, and apparently will serve you liquor even if he knows you have a fake ID. And the work, it doesn't get in the way of his path. He continues to study drama, continues waiting tables, and after a while, it's time for part two of his new plan. Go to New York and act.
And I thought, oh, you know, I should be able to find work as a waiter, right, in New York, since I have all this experience, you know. And nobody wants to hire me. And I said, why is that, you know? Because I thought I was so cool, you know. But eventually, I ended up working as a waiter, as a temp. So they would call you at, like, you know, 5 a.m. in the morning and say, hey, can you be on 45th Street and 5th Avenue, blah, blah, blah. This is the address. And if you were available, you would go. So that's what I did.
Did you ever think that you would have to work in the service industry your whole life to be able to continue acting?
That was my biggest fear. It seemed really improbable, if not impossible, to think that someone would actually pay me to act. It seemed like such a far out idea that somebody would actually pay me, you know, good money. I will be, you know, 65 years old and a waiter, and my nice dinner would be like Friday evening at Taco Bell. That's my biggest fear. Every morning I woke up during those days, I would be frozen with fear, that fear that I will never be able to make a living at acting, you know, and I'll be just struggling and won't be able to, like, settle down, get married, have kids, which I wanted to do so bad. So when I left New York, I was, penniless. I had just enough money to make it like halfway to Oklahoma, which was supposed to be my, you know, middle stop rest, where I actually could stay with a friend without, you know, paying, because I had no money. You know, I drove nonstop. It took me like 23 hours maybe from New York to Norman, Oklahoma.
He crashes with his friend, gets a shift working at one of the restaurants that he used to work at, and makes enough money for the third part of his plan. Hollywood. Or like 3 hours outside of Hollywood on a friend's couch. because he doesn't know anybody, and he definitely doesn't have enough money to rent his own place.
The first day I arrive, you know, at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, I took a shower, and then I asked my friends, okay, show me a street where they have a bunch of restaurants, you know, give me the directions. So I go at this restaurant, drove by, you know, Freeway 10, and I go and apply at a bunch of places, and, you know, ended up getting a job at Tony Roma's, which I did the same day I arrived. And the next day I drive to Los Angeles looking for Dramalogue and some other, you know, trade papers and publications that would, you know, tell me where the auditions are. Because I really thought that it was important that I, you know, keep working on my craft. I mean, I couldn't just sit and, you know, wait tables. So I wanted to make sure that I'm in an acting class or a play or something, doing something. And there was an audition the same day I auditioned. And amazingly enough, I get the part. You know, it was a play, Scapino, Molière, at Palisades Theater. It was 95.5 miles of one way. So I would drive for rehearsals, you know, 6 days a week. I would do lunch shift at Tony Roma's and then order a hamburger or something, eat in the car on my way to Los Angeles, fighting traffic, and hopefully make it by 6 p.m. for rehearsal. Let's see, 2.5 months I did that. And my first paying job in Hollywood, a Hollywood job, was this commercial. It was a commercial for a warehouse. I don't know if they exist anymore. It was a store that sold music, and we were supposed to, you know, sing anything we wanted. So I did my Elvis song. Now the song goes, I'm caught in a trap.
We're caught in a trap.
I can't walk out.
I can't walk out.
Because I love you too much, baby.
Because I love you too much, baby.
I thought the lyrics, you know, went like, I'm calling a cab. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. And it made perfect sense to me because, you know, the guy was at a bar. He's had few drinks, right? So he can't walk. He can't walk straight. So he's calling a cab because he loves his baby. He doesn't want to be irresponsible, right? So it made perfect sense. And that's what I sang. You know, I'm calling a cab. I can't walk out. Because I love you too much, baby. You know that.
No, I don't wanna fall in love with you, with you.
You can see that commercial, you know, me singing, you know, Chris Isaak song in my Bee Gees voice, because that's what they wanted me to do. So this commercial was like legit. It was SAG franchised commercial. It made me eligible to join the union, which I was so happy to do. I mean, I just wanted to be in the union so bad. So as soon as I got my first paycheck, I took the stub, took it to the union office. You know, she gave me this receipt, you know, of a temporary card, and I walk out, get into my little Honda, and I was the happiest man in the universe. I, you know, I held that, you know, receipt from my union, SAG, while driving, you know, and I was literally screaming, I'm an actor! I'm an actor! I keep praying, oh, thank you, God, every day, you know. But every audition meeting I go to, every job, you know, that it continues. And because I really don't want to wait tables anymore.
Thank you, Iqbal Uncle.
Oh, anytime.
Pleasure. You can learn more about Iqbal on his Twitter at Iqbal Taiba or by watching Glee, Green Book, or any number of things he's acted in. Thanks for listening to Tell Them I Am. I'm Misha Youssef. This episode of Tell Them I Am was sound designed by Arwin Nix and written by Arwin Nix and me. Mary Knopf is my producer, and don't tell James Kim, but cats love her more than him. Arwin Nix is our editor. Does she have the best hat collection in the universe? Yes, she does. Valentina Rivera and Sean Corey Campbell are our engineers. Our beautiful music is by David Leinard. You can find incredible illustrations of all our guests as the episodes release. Thanks to Emin Ahmed for those. You should really see them. Follow me or Emin on Instagram. Find me at Misha Youssef. Our beautiful series tile art is by Elizabeth Goodspeed. This podcast was originally a production of LAS Studios. Now presented by Higher Ground Audio and Spotify. We'll be back tomorrow with another story.